we are so hardwired to react to things, right?
How can we avoid this pain?
Yes, or how can we eliminate losses? How can we like only have the ups? And this is a great example of when your whole focus is on the investment versus the overall financial plan, you can get destroyed in a hurry.
Yeah.
Welcome to the Retirement Cafe with certified financial planners Dan Reese and Brent Oliver. At our cafe, we believe your retirement plan should be life-giving and custom-made, just like a hot cup of coffee. Here in mid-Michigan, with an office in Jackson, the Retirement Cafe is open for business.
Welcome into the Retirement Cafe. Pull up a seat. We're going to look back to 2020. What a year. What a year it was. We're going to talk about why a year like that, and many people experienced it, but a year like that can really ruin your financial plan, and just kind of look back on some of the roadblocks and the obstacles people had to overcome. Hopefully you had a financial plan in place, worked with Dan and Brent, and had something in place so you could kind of follow along and not be stressed out day to day. But either way, we want to look back on it and try to learn some lessons from 2020. And you know, welcome in now Dan Reitz and Brent Oliver. They are over at Avery Wealth. And I look back and think about last year, guys, and I just think, where do you even start with what happened?
There was a lot.
Just be glad maybe that it's over.
Oh my goodness. Like we Brent and I were starting to try to put together a list of things that happened in 2020, and it was kind of depressing in a way.
Yeah. So we have this big long list of all these things, and then we realize that none of them are good.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, wow. That was quite a year.
Yeah. Like COVID, of course, most people shutdowns that resulted, all kinds of people losing their jobs or being furloughed. Obviously, some volatility in the market, which we'll talk about.
Just a little bit, right?
You could say probably worldwide panic in a lot of regards, because it was such an unknown, and no one really, you see lots of people unfortunately passing away. And like, I mean, I remember watching the news originally, like, you know, Italy and some of these areas, and I mean, it was just hard to even believe.
Yeah, you don't, and how it's going to impact, like, think back to what that was like, and you had no idea whether it was even going to come here to that degree or what was going to happen. There's just so much uncertainty.
Yeah.
And then when we talk about uncertainty, another thing that happened was
The election.
Our lovely election.
Yeah.
Right? Well, that
our
was
lovely
so
election
fun.
Process.
Wasn't that? That whole thing was just great.
That was supposed to be like the one event last year. That was like, okay, it's going to be a busy year because of the election. And that was almost like a sidebar to everything else that happened. That's how crazy it was.
I mean, that's you believe it or not, when we were making the list, that's what's funny, because we almost forgot about the election because everything else.
Oh, yeah, the election. Don't forget about that.
Yeah.
But there were some good things.
Oh, yeah.
Right? I mean, there were tons of opportunities to spend more time with, you know, family, you know, the people, at least the people that live in your own home.
Yeah, I think slowing down, like I think for a lot of people, like the opportunity to just take a breath, slow down, and maybe focus in on what really matters.
I think a lot of people had a ton of opportunities and still do to save more, something that we talk about on here quite a bit. You know, unfortunately, restaurants and things like that have been shut down or whatever is the case. But, you know, I think people are focusing on, you know, their budgets and things like that maybe a little bit more than they would if all that stuff was open.
Oh, I mean, huge eye-opener. Like, I think of personally not going on our spring break vacation. And when you're going and you're kind of rushing through life, sometimes you don't add up actually what that costs. Right. And I mean, it's surprising, right? You know, we've got a family of five. You start traveling with five people, it adds up really quickly. And of course, all the people save money there.
Yeah. And just rushing through life, like what you just said, I mean, we rush through things. It's like from one task to the next, right? So especially if you have kids, and people can relate to this, but a lot of times their activities and all that stuff going on, and you never can just enjoy the people around you and those things. And so it kind of helps you focus on, you know, what's really important.
Yeah. I mean, I think of how many times just you had dinner together. Like, because I don't know, like my kids are 19. I got to remember here because they change every year. 19, 16, and 12. And they're all involved in different things. And like, you know, that kind of changed that whole dynamic. Yeah. Home for school, like we're seeing them all the time. Can actually have, you know, more structured times together. So there's definitely some positive.
Yeah, I learned last year, definitely it's about perspective. I mean, I'm very thankful for, I've got a young daughter, and so I got to spend, both my wife and I got to spend a lot of time with her that normally we would have been working a lot more, or we would have been away, or there would have been a lot less time to enjoy those moments and those milestones that she got to experience. So that was pretty cool. The other thing, Ohio State lost in the national championship game. So that's also another big positive. From well, that's technically, I guess, this calendar year, but still the season. So
yeah, that is definitely not a disappointing thing.
That's awesome.
Well, look, let's get into the conversation today. And I'll remind everybody, too, you can find this show and all the other shows we do online at averywealth.com. You can also get the resources that Dan and Brent provide as well there on the website. A lot of great resources, a resources tab that you can click on. Blog, podcast, college planning is a big deal, and they'll help you with all that stuff. So visit the website now, and also check out yourcollegereport.com. Get your college money report, your free college money report started. That'd be very beneficial for any of you that have kids that are getting close to heading off to school. You know how expensive that is. So again, and the number two is 517-783-1695. That's how you get in touch with Avery Wealth. So let's talk about this year, because the whole goal of the show is to talk about how a year like that can really impact you long term. And I think a lot of people know that and are maybe even experiencing that a little ways, but also it can, as you said, there's opportunity there. So it can impact you both positively and negatively, potentially, depending on where you are. So let's start with the volatility in the market, because that was the biggest, I think, storyline for much of the year. March hit, and then, things dropped as fast as you could even, close your account out or move your money around or whatever. And then since that time, it's been pretty steady, but there's a lot of lessons there.
Yeah. I mean, first of all, volatility, money and stress go hand in hand.
Right.
Yeah. It's just how it is. Right. And when you see the drop that happened that quickly from what we figure, Brent, around February 19th through March 23rd, it really wasn't a very long period.
No, a month.
And it just, it dropped we'll go through some numbers here in a minute. As far as what some of the numbers we saw, but the point being is that people were talk about panic.
Yeah.
You know?
And I think that just comes down to understanding, what's possible with what you own, right? Mm-hmm. So if you know this stuff and you have a plan for it ahead of time, you are so much more set up to be successful than trying to figure out what you're going to do when the panic happens. Right.
Right. Right. Yeah, unfortunately, when you think about it, your plan should already have accounted for this.
Oh, yeah.
Because this was something different and new, but there's always something different and new that affects markets. It could have been Brexit a few years ago.
Sure.
It can be a debt ceiling for the government. There's always something different. Conflict with North Korea or China or you name it. And so this time it happened to be a worldwide pandemic, which is something definitely new,
yeah.
Right, from our perspective in the U.S., but what are some of the numbers that we saw?
So we want to break down what happens when you have a balanced portfolio. So somebody maybe has 60% in stock, 40% in bonds, what happened? And so when we look at that from January, the beginning of the year, until, middle of February, it was pretty flat.
Right? Yeah, maybe down a percent here or there, not much going on.
But then when you look at the next month, basically, until March 23rd, that same 60-40 portfolio, right, is down about 24%.
That's incredible. You think about one of the things, too, we're talking about. The numbers we always look at are kind of academically based portfolios. So when we say a balanced portfolio, 60% stock and 40% fixed income, that's 60% globally diversified stock. Yep. That has exposure to small companies, large companies, value, all different areas of the market. And the fixed income that we refer to tends to be really high quality fixed income, not really corporate bonds, but government, very safe stuff.
Right.
And so that's the kind of thing that we're talking about. But 24%. So if I do my math right, if I had $1 million portfolio, that dropped down to $760,000.
That's right.
So I just got a little sick to my stomach.
Yeah, 24% sounds gross, right? But it's disgusting when you think of $240,000.
Yeah.
Right? That is really tough to stomach.
Yeah.
And so if you look at it then from the rest of the year, what happened from that point on, and it happened quickly,
mm-hmm.
that same portfolio from that point, so from February or March 23rd, was then up 42.5%.
And that's a balanced portfolio. That's
balanced
not all
portfolio.
Stock. That's 60-40.
So, right. So if it's 100% stock, that same thing was down during the period where it was down about 36%.
Wow.
And then this is what's crazy. From March 23rd until the end of the year, that portfolio was up 80%.
Jeez. Wow.
What? I mean, it's mind-boggling to think about.
Right. Well, and I think the problem that exists for a lot of investors when you, and that's why the title of this is How It Could Ruin Your Financial Plan. We are so hardwired to react to things, right?
How can we avoid this pain?
Yes. Or how can we eliminate losses? How can we like only have the ups? And this is a great example of when your whole focus is on the investment versus the overall financial plan, you can get destroyed in a hurry.
Yeah.
I mean, if you sold out, and there were people, I know plenty of people that did that in the end of March or that area, I mean, your plan might never recover.
Right.
Ever.
No, because you're not going to get that jump. And it happened so quickly. I thought this was really interesting. So we went till March 23rd. March 24th, this 100% stock portfolio, that day alone was an over 8% return. So if you think that you're going to get in and get out and pick the right time and you just miss that day, that's one of the best days that we'll have.
Yeah, who knows?
That could be
for years.
Yeah, a decade, right?
I mean, it's
just a huge day that you can't afford to miss.
Yep. And I mean, it's what's crazy is like the $1 million portfolio that started in the 60-40 ended up like $1,080,000. So it was up roughly 8% by the end of the year.
Yeah.
And what was y'all stock?
It was about $1,165,000
something like
that. So it made $165,000. But if you're jumping in and out, you're not getting that, right?
No.
So at the beginning of the year, right, if you had a million in there and then you didn't open your envelope and look at your statements, you'd be like, that was great.
Good year.
Right? It worked.
The old black box thing. Yes. We talk about that all the time. Like, if you never knew.
Yeah.
You wouldn't be worried about it. Right. And that's like, honestly, like if you only look at annual reviews of a well put together portfolio, it really isn't that scary. Like, you know, you can look through all the years and you're like, oh, it's only down one, you know, like once every 4 or 5 years. Most years it's up, maybe not a lot, but you know, virtually little or no losses or small gains. And then you have big gains. But when you're living it and you see just like this year, so in the record books, what you'll see is that portfolio is up 8% for 2020.
Right.
Without any knowledge of any history or anything else, you would have never have known you had to basically experience roughly a 24% decline. Yeah. You had to live through that in order to get that outcome.
Yeah.
You know, I remember watching, you mentioned that 8% day. I remember watching the markets in late March and early April, you know, paying attention. I think everybody kind of was, especially if you kind of, you work in or live in this financial world. But I just remember like every day it seemed like it was either 8% or it was somewhere between like 3% and 8% every day, a move like one direction or the other. So if you're trying to time that at all, you had no chance.
Right.
So Ben, we've got this program and it's pretty cool. I mean, if you like this kind of stuff, most people listening are like, that doesn't sound that cool to me. But we can actually put a portfolio in and show every single day's return and the impact it had on the portfolio from a dollar standpoint. So like, think about this. You could see like what the current value of the portfolio, how much it changed that day, what the percent return was that day, positive or negative, and then what your cumulative, like if you're going throughout the course of a time period, like a year. And it is pretty crazy.
It is.
I mean, to see how much volatility really can exist, especially in years like this. I mean,
it's something else.
Yeah, there's no question. Well, I think one of the biggest questions people have, you know, after going through last year and experiencing the way the market performed, you know, when you look at it over the course of the year positively versus what all was happening around us, because, you know, you look at the economy versus the market and they didn't seem to align very well.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. We would get calls and it was almost like people were mad that, like, why is the market going up? Like, it shouldn't be going up. Like, everything. And you know, when you looked at the news and everything, that was understandable. Because, I mean, a lot of people thought a natural reaction was to pull out of the market when it went down, which people think that often. But like we just discussed, it's usually not the best course of action. But when people were looking at these recoveries in the markets, they couldn't understand, right? Why is it going up? Like, it's terrible.
I mean, you can understand that, but you have to understand that the economy is things that have already happened, right?
Right.
And so that's just reporting on something that's already happened. And then the market is forward-looking. And so They're two different things. They shouldn't line up.
Yeah, I was at a class one time, and an economics professor was up there, and he was talking about stock markets. And one of the things he said was that what you have to understand is that the markets are the most efficient mechanism ever created, because it takes all the market participants in the world, 7 billion people or whatever, and instantly adjust prices for different things. Now, that doesn't mean it's 100% right.
Right.
There's things that are undervalued, of course. So everybody kind of says, what is the most likely thing moving forward? And that's what markets are pricing in, right?
Right.
And the only thing that's going to change that is new information. So as new information came in, so if you look at the pandemic, they started to find better ways to treat people. They started, vaccine, advances in vaccines were happening, even though it wasn't ready to come out. But all these things people could see, right? In the summer, to be fair, even in the summer, cases went down quite a bit, right?
Yeah.
When you look back now. And so all that stuff, even though it hadn't come to fruition yet, better profits for companies, all that kind of stuff, it was on the horizon, and you could see that it was coming.
Right. And so if GDP numbers would come out and things like that, well, and they were terrible.
Yeah.
Right. Well, why isn't that? Well, they already knew that was going to happen. You shut down all the businesses.
Right.
Of course, GDP is going to go down.
Yep.
Right. And so that's all built into it. It already knows that that's going to happen.
Yeah, it's amazing. And one of the other things I will note, there were several companies that did very well because of the stay-at-home economy, where people were having to work from home. I mean, there was all kinds of technical stuff you couldn't even buy. You're trying to get computers, you're trying to get these different things, couldn't get them, right? I mean, and so there were lots of things that actually excelled during that period. That's a good lesson, too. No matter what happens with, different events and in things, it's good for somebody, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Some entrepreneurs are going to figure out a way to make money regardless of what's thrown at them. And so there's going to be winners and losers in all these types of scenarios.
Yeah. But it's a good lesson. Economy and markets, the key to that, they're not the same thing. So.
Well, another lesson that we kind of touched on a little bit, but I want to kind of dive into it a little bit deeper. And this, the pitfalls of market timing. And, just your example of where your portfolio went into March versus where it ended the year, had you just kind of stayed the course, we'll tell you everything you know. But let's talk about those pitfalls just a little bit more, and kind of what you need to be looking out for, and what can really trip you up.
Yeah, I think first and foremost, when you think about market timing, why do people do it, right? And it's emotionally driven.
Yeah.
So generally, because people aren't, market timing, you don't usually see, hey, the market just went down 25%, I want in.
Yeah.
Even though, if you talk to Warren Buffett, that's how he makes a lot of his money, in all honesty. But so it's emotionally driven. And what's the basic rule of investing? Investing lesson number one, basically sell high and buy low.
Right.
What happens when people market time? Almost always.
Yeah, they're doing the opposite of that.
Yep. So, bad news right from the start. And then the other thing is when you think about market timing, you don't have to be right once, right?
You gotta have to get it right twice. Right. So even we were talking about that earlier in this show, back in March when all this was going on, and we have positive days and negative days right next to each other, and you're trying to jump in and jump out, you have to get it right twice. And if you don't, you're going to miss out on a bunch of that rebound.
Yeah. We talk about this all the time, too. This goes back to, I think we mentioned earlier, are you trying to execute a well-built financial plan? Or are you trying to just manage investments, right? Because here's the problem. Most people end up with this disconnect between what their investments are there for. And so the real question is that, does it even help you to market time? If you know all I have to do is stay disciplined through long periods of time and, rebalance when markets go down, things like that, and I'm going to accomplish all the goals that are most important to me,
Why are you messing with that other stuff? That's just going to derail your plan anyways.
Oh, absolutely. Right? And what I think, honestly, and this might even offend some listeners, I don't mean to do that, but I think a lot of times it's ego-driven. Being able to go to work and be like, well, I got out of the market before it went down. Well, when'd you get back in? Do we know, people that have done that where they got out, which maybe they actually got a little lucky and got out at a good time, but they couldn't, it's really hard psychologically to pull the trigger to invest again. When you do that, right?
And we'd rather just, right? We don't want to be gambling, right? That's right. What this is. Do you want to be an investor? Do you want to have structure and discipline over a long period of time to help you achieve the things that are most important to you? Or do you want to roll the dice and hope that you get lucky? Because, I mean, you can look back on this year and be and think, well, you know, if I would have timed the market and got out on, you know, February 18th and got back in on March 24th, I would have killed it. Well, yeah, okay. But no one's going to do that. So.
Right, right. No, that's exactly right. I mean, so the thing is like we always try to bring people back to investing is just a tool or a method to accomplish other things with money, like what's really important to you. And oftentimes the more levers you're trying to pull to try to like deal with current news and events, you know, the more it hurts you. And that's what can ruin your financial plan. Back to the title of this this show is that, you know, market timing has been proven over and over again through countless studies to generally end in bad results.
Right.
But there are people out there that think, no, I can do it. And what I would challenge anyone that thinks that, measure your success. Measure your portfolio return over not a single year, but over long periods of time. Because more times than not, you're going to find out you probably would have been better off just staying the course through all that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, no question. That's the key. That's why you build a financial plan is for the long term. So let's talk about the long-term effects of your plan. And like looking back at last year, you know, what kind of questions maybe should you be asking yourself when you think about long-term and you try to piece that together with your plan?
I think you first just want to start with why are you doing this in the first place, right? What is the reason for investing? Maybe most people, you know, the easy thing to go to is either for college or for retirement. Right.
Yeah. So, you just want to make money. I just want to build. You know, don't want to leave it in the bank.
Yep. And so, what are you trying to do, in the first place? That's where you have to start. You always have to start there.
Yeah. And I think the next thing is when you have times of volatility. You know, one of the programs that Brent and I use that we really believe in is it scores your plan. Right. So it says what are the levels of all your investment accounts? What are your goals and needs out of that for that money? You know, and so what we want to know is when you have a big market downturn, how did it really affect your plan? And believe it or not, we looked at multiple plans during this period of time, and it barely had an impact because it's part of normalcy, right? Even though it doesn't seem like it when you're going through it, markets go down and they have these events and then they come back. And so, I mean, if you can truly focus on how it affects your plan, like, you know, are you still in a good spot? Then you can give some more, have a lot more peace of mind that I'm doing the right thing and I can stay put and I don't feel like I need to do something, right? And that's huge because volatility itself generally is not going to reduce the likelihood of success in your plan, right?
Yeah, it's going to be the behavior that you take during that volatile time that's going to dictate whether or not you're going to be successful if you've put in place a plan around your investments.
Yep. So I think that's the big thing is long-term effects on your plan when you're going through these things. That's what you need to focus on before you start pulling levers and making decisions and moving money around because you can really get hurt big time. And so that's the last thing we want for anybody. We want you to have success and we want you to have a good, solid plan. And so, you know, focus on those things we feel like you'll be in a lot better spot.
And that's the end game for this episode is not really to not really spend too much time on 2020 and think about it, but really kind of look ahead because there's going to be another year like this that's going to happen in your lifetime, more than likely. And are you going to be prepared to deal with it differently than maybe you did in 2020 if you didn't have a great year and not make those same mistakes and compound those errors going forward? So let's just kind of recap the show, guys, before we get out of here and just kind of sum up the 2020 and the year that was and what it can mean and what you should be doing with your planning process as we go forward.
Yeah, first of all, it was quite a year. we know that, right? But like we talked about lots of times on the show is that when you invest within a plan and you understand why you're doing, you know, what you're doing and why you're doing it and those types of things, these times are never easy, but they're easier to get through. When you know that if you can maintain your discipline, you're going to be okay, that's a lot of peace of mind. You know, when you don't do that, and all you can see is that million, in our example, that $1 million account going down to $600,000 or $700,000. I get why you would have a lot of stress because the fact is it's scary. But if you know that's normal within what I'm doing, even though it stinks, and you know that if you stay put, you're gonna come out of it, that's a whole different road to go down, right? So that's one of the big main lessons. And really, moral of the story for us is like, don't become a ball of stress, you know, with your money like that. the best thing you can do is find like a good certified financial planner, build out a plan that's really going to take these things into consideration, because they will happen again. Could happen this year. Yeah. Who knows, right? And then, you know, put yourself in a situation where you can do what you need to do to have success. You can focus on the little things that really are what determine your plan to a great degree. And you can have confidence with your money, right?
Yeah.
That's the big thing that we want to take away from the show.
Well said, and we hope this episode doesn't bring back any bad memories from 2020. But, you know, it's all about perspective and trying to find the positive in life, even if it was a difficult year for many of us. Who knows what 2021 holds, too, by the way, because it hasn't gotten off to the quietest start so far.
Right,
so,
right.
Who knows? But the key is being prepared, and you can always get in touch with Dan Reese and Brent Oliver if you're looking to build a plan, work on your plan, tweak your plan, whatever it is. AveryWealth.com is the website, and you can call them directly at 517-783-1695. Guys, appreciate the time today. Enjoyed looking back on last year. I think we're all ready to finally put it behind us, and we'll continue moving forward.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Information is for illustrative purposes only and does not constitute investment, tax, or legal advice. Always consult with a qualified professional before taking any action. Avery Wealth Inc. is a registered investment advisory firm.